see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight. We're going to, I think it'll be really interesting tonight, about the second half of the tribulation, the second advent. Actually, we're toward the end of the advent of the return of Jesus Christ after the tribulation. All of it, this course lays out quite a bit when you go back over it, word for word, piece by piece. It's quite interesting. The second advent, and we'll dedicate the broadcast here in a short chiffy. Second advent is going to be at the close of the great tribulation, when Jesus Christ will return to this planet to actually begin the 1,000 years tribulation. The 1,000 years of the millennium. Where'd that come from? Tribulation. So we're at Matthew 24 tonight. Matthew 24, and we'll start off in 24:29. If we're going to end up going to. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to let old Max here.
Matthew.
Whoa. 24. We're going to let Max McClain. Go over 24 again.
Matthew 24.
There you go, Max, everybody. And let him kind of do the summary. How's that sound? And we'll let him run through all of 24, and we'll go into 25, and that way you'll be a refresher at the same time. And that'll be a good way to do it, kind of bring it together. Sounds like a winner. It is a winter. It's kind of chilly today. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in this Bible study for the end times events, Father, to lead us tonight with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, make me stronger. Father, as I let you in, as I give up my free will, Father, to deny myself, Father, you take control. Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity we have for these Bible studies. Lord, thank you for this network. But Lord, most of all, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Father, give us that wisdom discernment that we can see these end times events as they unfold. Provide us the opportunities to witness to others. And Father, we do pray for our families. We know, Father, that families are going to separate. We also know that some families are going to come together. We do pray for healing, protection. For those we've prayed for here in the past, Father, for those that are alone, that, Lord, you send the healing angels down, the ministering angels, to give them comfort. Father, to set up divine appointments, to give them confirmation, to give them help, Father, and to keep them strong when they feel weak. Father, they get strong to guide them through. Father, we pray for awakening in this country. We pray for, Father, the watchmen and those, Father, preaching the true word of the gospel, that they're going to come out. And the anointing begin whenever that will be done. That's why we pray, Father, tonight. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. People worry about death because they're taught death education. They worry that this is the end of time. Why does God kill babies? All these questions. Well, Ma, I got a question for you then. What if Noah prayed that he don't want to leave the earth? What if Lot prayed that he doesn't have to leave Sodom and Gomorrah? Why do we have to leave? Our family's here, our house is here. Why have I got to leave? Need I go further? Judgment's coming. Who wants to be here? But doesn't mean you hurry things up either. Suicide. That's not an option. It's taking life in your own hands. And that don't work. We're going to cover, hopefully tonight, finish up with 24, hopefully 25. 25 is not quite as long as 24, but this is what's called the Olivet Discourse. We've covered up so far, well, actually past the Great Tribulation, we've well, I tell you, that E-Sword is one heck of a program. I tell you what, it's really, really good. You can download it. It's free, too. E-Sword is a really, really good program. I use it quite extensively, and I have another kind of a program, actually, another one, about a $1,000 program that I got a long time ago. For Bible study and words and what have you. So let's see what Max McLean's got to say, and he'll let him run the summary tonight. And keep in mind, so far, we've covered the Olivet Discourse, chapters 24 and 25. Olivet, call that because of the Mount of Olives. And about Jesus predicting the destruction of the temple. We talked about, in general, the first half of the tribulation, And all this should coincide with Daniel, Isaiah, and the book of Revelation. Should coincide exactly to Olivet Discourse. And see, like an Olivet Discourse of Matthew is going to say some things in general view that the book of Revelation won't. And the book of Revelation will have details that the Olivet Discourse won't have. But they both coincide. And he refers to the book of Daniel as part of it. It all comes together. One big happy family of books. So we got to prediction of the temple being destroyed 70 AD. We spoke through in general the first half of the tribulation. Verses 24, 3 to 14. And we move right along about false prophets enduring to the end, wars, rumors of wars. We talked about the gospel of the kingdom, a witness to all nations. Then we got through all the way to the great tribulation, which is the second half of the 7 years. 24 verses 15 to 28. And flee to the mountains, the abomination of desolation, great tribulation. And now we're toward the end, where is the second advent, 24 to 29, 31. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31, begins the second advent. In other words, around the bowl judgments. The bowl judgments for your knowledge in Revelation. First bowl with sores on those who follow the Antichrist. Revelation 16. Then the second bowl during the wrath of God, which is brought on by the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, is all the seas turned to blood. Whereas in the Revelation 8, at the Great Tribulation, the trumpets, a third of the seas turned red with blood. Now see, the bowl judgments are even worse. It completes it. All the seas are turned to blood. They're polluted. They're bad, all just like that. Supernaturally. Then the third bowl, all the fresh water of the earth are turned to blood. Man, there was nothing to drink. And by this time, it's a transhumanized army, not China or whatever. Fourth bowl is God's power to the sun, brings heat to scorch the earth. Then the fifth bowl, during that last 3.5 years, darkness, this is important right here, darkness, covering the kingdom of the Antichrist. The whole world will be covered in darkness. Then, in the sixth bowl, the Euphrates is then dried up. Demonically inspired men head for their own destruction at Armageddon. Three unclean spirits come out. Demonically inspired men. This is not like armies. This is special. They're demonically inspired and transhumanized. And the seventh bowl, the last one, is a massive moving of the earth crust under darkness and 100-pound hailstones. Now, you would think that that would be overkill. But keep in mind, if you've done your research, you'll find that even in the extra-biblical books, they talk of, to match the, as in the days of Noah, the giants, Nephilim, are released on this earth. It'd be like shooting fish in a barrel. So that's why we require 100-pound hailstones to defeat these demonically inspired men that cross the Euphrates. And the reason I say that emphatically is because even now they're saying, oh, the Euphrates is drying up like 2 months ago. So that means what? That means we're in the sixth bowl. Well, no, we're not. What about everything else in between? Hadn't happened yet. This is your Carl Gallup and P.P. Simmons and these Irvin Baxters and all these guys, Calvinists, saying we're all done with the Great Tribulation. It's all finished, really. But we missed a whole lot, didn't we? So then after the seventh bowl, the massive moving of the earth crusts. Now, what does that entail? darkness. Euphrates dries up. The last bit is a moving of the earth crust. That's called one big gigantic earthquake. Plates will move. That's going to be a great loss of life. Pounded by 100-pound hailstones. Man, God is going to hammer this earth. The wrath of God will come down upon it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. There's a lot of wisdom there. God will take care of it. And then, all will see Jesus Christ come down. When it says to gather his people together, it doesn't mean the rapture. It means he's going to gather together, here I am. The ones that went to the hills, flee to the hills 3.5 years earlier, protected. Now he's going to go to the corners and gather everybody together. And family, y'all be speaking Hebrew, supernaturally. We'll be speaking Hebrew today if the Jews had not rejected Jesus Christ. Instead, he used a universal language to bring his word to mankind, called English, during the time of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles ends, effectively, when Jesus Christ takes the throne. There'll be one language. What was it during the days of Nimrod and before? One language. All in accord. When we started plotting against man, God, what did God do? He changed the languages. Now he's going to change them back. It's real simple. Now, those are my regular listeners. You've heard me talk about combining the races. God divided everybody so we wouldn't plot against him. The cultures evolved because of where they're located in parts of the planet. Or God changed them instantly when he changed the languages, divided us, so he couldn't plot against him. Satan's idea would be to what? Naturally, to bring everybody back together and combine the races so there's no more conflict for one world government under his control. That brings us to the tribulations. It's not going to be under his control. Hello? You see? It's kind of simple, actually. But no human can wreck the vengeance that God can supernaturally. I mean, you might pour, sugar in the gas tank, or, you might, I put a dead fish in somebody's house or something, whatever. something, vengeance, right? It's nothing like God's going to do for those that rejected him. Can I get the idea? Mankind has no power. We're not gods. But that's the trick, is to make ourselves gods. That's what Joyce Meyer says. That's what Osteen says. It's what T.D. Jakes, all the others. We're, Copeland, we're gods in the making. We're little gods. That's the Rosicrucian idea. They actually say this. You become as gods. What that means is magistrates, legislators, rulers. That's the only God is talking about. But we'll do more than Jesus will. He left disciples down here to continue with miracles, to continue with exorcisms or whatever. It's not more as in more sensational. He's talking about more in number. Everybody likes to think, well, and they combine it together and say, oh, we're going to be like gods, better than Jesus even. Oh, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. You see how people have twisted the scriptures? All right, Max, talk to me. Here we go.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye, that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25.
Now, going back, we left off at the second advent of the return of Jesus Christ. So, as you heard him say in the second advent, you can read it yourself if you have your Bible with you, Matthew 24, 29 to 31. This is the close, the end of the great tribulation, and there's going to be really bad disturbances in heaven. The sun is going to be darkened, and for the second time, remember the blood moon and the darkening in the mid-tribulation? That would be the sixth seal. It's going to be darkened again. And the sun will be darkened, and since the moon's light is only reflection of the sun's in its first place, the moon will not withhold its light. It'll be dark too. The stars will be plunging from the heaven. Planets will be moved out of their orbits. That's going to mess up a whole lot of things on this earth. Because this earth, I don't know where y'all sit on this, but reality is, the entire universe was created to service life on the earth. You think the earth is a little old speck out there and you got millions of other planets. Well, that's not so. The constellations and the positions of all these giant planets and all these galaxies, all that, is to service the fragile life on Earth. Well, that's terribly egotistical. Egotistical for what? We're the only planet that has life, that's human life on it. Why is it egotistical? You've got one house, the universe, one aquarium, it's in your living room, and you put the fish there. You're God. And everything around it, the electricity, the heat, the temperature in the house, the lights, is to service that aquarium, so to speak. That's how it is. Aliens are not aliens. Aliens, technically, are demonic entities in the second heaven, cast out of heaven, the third one. Second heaven is a physical universe in which no flesh can reside. But supernatural, yes. Flesh? No. You get burned like in a microwave. Inside the earth, you're protected by the Van Allen belt. From the microwaves. Now, if you remove it on this earth, we'd cook like a fryer. Like in a fryer. We'd cook just like you would throw a goose in a microwave oven. The Van Allen belt deflects all those rays and all that, so life would exist here on earth. Too much gravity, too little gravity, life would not survive. Too much oxygen, too little oxygen, won't survive. You ever have some kind of, your legs get kind of antsy and other things happen, you get these bumps on you, whatever, I don't know. And they go there and the doctor says, well, Mr. Jones, and they got 0.01 or whatever, you have, you're low in potassium, you're low in magnesium. You got iron poor blood. You're only talking minor deficiencies. It has major effects on your body. Think about it for a minute. It don't take much. If you don't replenish it, it affects your entire body. So how in the world did evolution figure all that out? Think about it. How is that possible? When your life is threatened, no. when you're training in a shooting situation, training, you know that your life is really not threatened. It might be a little dangerous or something, whatever, but you have referees, you have control points, you have blanks in your weapons. You know you're really not going to die, you know, unless, you know, something really extraordinary happens. So normally your training that you go through, even in self-defense, you get a little excited, but you know you're not going to die. But now you put yourself in a situation where you're going out to your car. There's no referees out there. And you're by yourself, and your psyche, your mind, your soul knows it. And someone jumps you and pulls the gun out, and you really can die. Okay, your body, in one instant, goes through 4,000 chemical changes to prepare you for fight or flight. Now, adrenaline is one. We only have 3,999 more chemical reactions to talk about if we're going to do that. 4,000 chemical changes, boom, just like that, happens all at one time to prepare you for defense. Man, you can't fake that. It's hard to make a training situation real life. Okay, here's my point from that perspective. Where'd all those chemical changes come from? How does your body know to do that? Where'd all the chemicals go to? Where'd they come from? Evolution? Right. Yeah. Okay. That takes you a little bit further from being coming from primordial goo. And again, your life spark comes from lightning and hit it. And that was your great, 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 great times 10,000 grandmother or something. I don't know what. And one of your grandmothers was a tadpole. And a tadpole grew legs. And the legs that grew the tadpole turned into a doggone lizard. And the lizard turned into a bird. And bird turned into, who knows, some kind of monkey. I don't know what. You got to be kidding me. And people believe this. It's allegedly educated. Really think about it. So it's easier to believe it than it is to believe you're going to be judged for your moral activity. They'd rather believe that nonsense than think there's really a creator out there that's going to judge them. Huh. Anyway, so when it means the stars will plunge from heaven, planets will be moved out of their orbits, I haven't yet figured, I'm not real sure just what extent it means by the stars will fall. Does that mean meteorites? Does that mean other fallen angels? I don't know. Planets being moved? That's my point. Constellations, and it tells you in the Bible, for direction, being able to read the constellations gives you direction. It has an effect on the power structures of the earth. You move one constellation, set of giant planets around, and it messes it up here. The moon helps establish the regular tides, life sustenance, gravity, all that stuff. That's what it's for. One minor, tiny adjustment, it'll mess everything up. Well, everything's going to be messed up down here when that happens. On purpose, you see? There's a lot people don't talk about in these things. It goes on to say, cosmic upheavals will affect the weather, the tides, and the seasons on Earth to a massive degree. So just give you a faint idea of what it's going to be like is given in Velaskovsky. I tried to practice that. I have the trouble with these doggone words. I speak two languages fluent, English and American. And a little bit of Spanish, y'all. And so, I will trouble these European words and so forth. Velikovsky, his description of what would happen if a heavenly body came close to Earth and caused it to tilt on its axis. Now, they've been doing their research, the bad guys have. What does that come to your mind? Nibiru. How about those apples? Anyway, so Velikovsky said, and I quote Velikovsky, and I'm not talking about an orchestra leader either, quote, "At that moment, an earthquake would shake the earth, would make the earth shudder. Air and water would continue to move through the inertia. Hurricanes would sweep the earth, and the seas would rush over continents, carrying gravel and sand and marine animals and casting them on land. Heat would be developed, rocks would melt, volcanoes would erupt, lava would flow from fissures in the ruptured ground and cover vast areas. Mountains would spring up from the plains and would travel and climb on the shoulders of other mountains, causing faults and rifts. Lakes would be tilted and emptied. Rivers would change their beds." What does that lead you to think? River Euphrates. "Large areas with all their inhabitants would slip under the sea. Forests would burn. Hurricanes and wild seas would wrest them from the ground on which they grew, pile them, branch and root, in huge heaps. Seas would turn to deserts, their waters flowing away," unquote. I don't think I want to be here. I don't think an inner tube, a helmet, and beef jerky would get me through that. You know, in 24:30 it says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens." Now, we're not told what this sign is going to be. We don't know. His first advent, if you recall, was accompanied by a sign in heaven, a star, remember? Whatever that star was. Maybe a miracle star will announce the second coming. Now, to do the fake second coming, Sanan de Manuel, the fallen angel, they could do this with a hologram. Did you know that by chemtrails, now you can look this up on your own, they've been spreading out what's called barium niobate. The full name of it is strontium barium niobate, N-I-O-B-A-T-E. Strontium barium niobate. Three words. That is the ingredient, the gases necessary to help produce holograms. As a matter of fact, the old TV tubes back in the day, in the 50s and 60s, had barium oxide, barium niobate, in the tube gases. So you project a film, project an image on your screen for the old TVs. Did y'all know that? Of course, now they got different things. So they'll use it by projectors of satellites, holograms. Then they got to fake this to bring the false prophet in with Star Wars, HARP. If you look up strontium barium niobate with a army project called holographic imagery, 3D imagery, there you go. I got the report myself. So a second coming for the real Jesus Christ, some believe the Son of Man will himself be the sign. Whatever it means, it'll be clear to all when he appears. You won't need some silly, and you won't have one, computer. It'll be up close and personal. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. No doubt because of rejection of him. And God puts on the heart. There'll be no mistake. He'll let everybody know in their heart, this is the real one. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He threw the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there's four in there, one like the Son of Man. Or like one like the Son of God. How do you know that? Because God put it on his heart. Was Nebuchadnezzar a Christian? No. But God put it on his heart to say, well, that's the Son of God. How do you know that? That's before Jesus even born. Because God put it on his heart to recognize it. See, no doubt of the rejection. But primarily, These tribes of the land will mourn the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going to look on whom they pierced. That'd be Jesus. They'll mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for the firstborn. Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as the ones of bitterness for the firstborn. And in that day there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon. Zechariah is a prophet. Zechariah matches Matthew. Those two didn't get together. You see how God speaks through his prophets? And they match almost word for word. And that's amazing. Then they'll see the Son of Man coming to clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Isn't that going to be amazing? You know, the one who was spit upon and crucified, that one, he'll be vindicated as the Lord of life and glory. What happened when he was crucified? Roman soldiers laughed, they traded lots, and all of a sudden, when he's up there, they weren't laughing too much longer. Because the clouds darkened, storm came across, and they said, surely, this is the Son of God. He put it on their hearts. Uh-oh, we made a big boo-boo. You see, he puts them on their hearts. They weren't laughing anymore when he's on that cross. They knew they did a boo-boo. They knew that he was the Son of God, as he claimed to be. There's no more fun and games after that. See, the meek and the lowly Jesus will appear as Jehovah himself, as he truly is. And you know the sacrificial lamb? Well, he's going to descend as a conquering lion. He's not going to be any lamb no more. He's not going to be your intercessor neither. He's going to be your judge. Intercession is over. That's why. No longer will there be a judge, a lawyer per se. This despised carpenter of Nazareth, he will appear down here as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Chariots will be clouds of heaven. He'll come into regal power and splendor. Well, don't you know, when this happens, to fake it, they're going to have holograms of UFOs in different parts of the world. Fallen angels will be your superheroes. That's the first seal. It's called externalization of the hierarchy. They've got it all worked out, but it will be destroyed. The moment for which creation was groaned for thousands of years will have come. Now, when you go to 24:31, when he descends, he's going to send his angels throughout the earth to gather together his elect people, believing Israel, right to the land of Palestine. Remember, there won't be too many left. Think about it for a minute. From all the earth, they'll be gathered to greet the Messiah and enjoy his glorious reign. Some people believe that to be to gather them together for rapture. No. Gather together to see him come down. Aha. Then comes the parable of the fig tree. People prescribe the fig tree as being today Israel. And this generation shall not pass. Oh, a generation is 70 years. Aha, so here we go. They pull out their books, CDs, DVDs, write books, saying, predicting 1948, Well, there's 70 years in a generation, so that generation will not pass because the fig tree is Israel. Oh, okay. So that means 2018, God will be here. Really? We're already past that 7 years. Is there already 3.5 years to go to 2018? We're missing 3.5 years already. What happened to them? Anybody miss them? I missed them. I guess Rip Van Winkle didn't slip through it. You see, when people start predicting all this nonsense and writing books about it, they get embarrassed because it doesn't happen. The parable of the fig tree is not Israel, 1948. A generation is not 70 years. A generation in 70 years is not tacked on the generation. This generation shall not pass until these. What he's talking about is the signs of the times that all come together at the same time. That generation that sees those signs is the one that won't pass. And it'll happen, that generation. He tells you a clue about that. So the parable of the fig tree. Very important. So our Lord, at that time, when he tells them about it, there's a spiritual lesson from nature here. You see, when the branches of the fig tree get green and tender, you know that summer is near. It's not talking about Israel. Now, we've seen that the fig tree here at other times pictures the nation of Israel. Now, for hundreds of years, Israel's been dormant. No government of its own. No land, no temple, no priesthood. No sign of national life. So the people have been scattered throughout the world. Now, we can refer to, in 1948, Israel, of sort, did become a nation, but it's actually a colony of England. Has own land, government, currency, stamps, whatever. Spiritually, the nation is still barren and cold. There's no fruit for God there. But nationally, you might say the branches are green and tender, but not yet ripe. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it's near at the very doors. 24:33. So, well, Israel's emergence there, colony or not, as a nation, means not only that the beginning of the tribulation is close, but that the Lord himself is very close. But you know it's got to be a 7-year period at any given time. Tribulations are a total of 7 years. So any given time, when that Daniel 70th week kicks off with the introduction of the Antichrist and the falling away, that's when it begins. So if Christ's coming to reign is so near, then how much more imminent is this rapture of the church that nobody knows about? You know, if we already see the shadows of the events that's got to precede his coming in glory, then how much closer are we to the first phase of his parousia, or the advent, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. So if you go there, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, what do we got? But I would have you, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's the ones that's dead. The bodies are in the ground. Soul and the spirit is in heaven or hell. That we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with them. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is not the second advent. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This trump of God is not the same trump of the first of the great tribulation. Now, after referring to the fig tree, Jesus continued and he added, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." Now, this generation, it can't mean the people living when Christ was on earth, as some people think. They've all passed away. They're dead. Yet the events of chapter 24 have not taken place yet at all. They like to have you think it has, but it has not. If they say it does, then can you tell me when exactly? And they'll give you a period of like 100 years or 50 years or Chernobyl. It's scattered. And they take them out of sequence. But notice the seals, trumpets, bowls. It gets bad, it gets worse, and it gets really, really, really bad. In that order. So what did Jesus Christ mean by this generation? Well, we can find two possibilities. A theologian named F.W. Grant and others like on his side, his following, if you will, they believe the thought is that the very generation that sees the beginning of these things will see the end. And these same people who see the rise of Israel as a nation, or who see the beginning of the tribulation, one of the two, will see the Lord Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven to reign. That's where they get the 70 years tacked on to it. Now, the other explanation is that generation should be understood as race. This is legitimate translation of the Greek word. And what it means men of the same stock, breed, or family. Now, if you find Matthew 12:45, "Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so it shall be unto this wicked generation." And in Matthew 23:35. Yeah. "That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel and the blood of Zechariah's son Barachias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar." And 36, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." So, Jesus was predicting that the Jewish race would survive to see all these things accomplished. The race would. So the continued survival, despite just atrocious persecution, is a miracle of history in itself. Herod's tried to kill the Jews for ages. Different Herods along the way. You know, there's an added thought in Jesus' day that this generation was a race that refused to acknowledge him. and that to acknowledge him as Messiah. He's predicting that national Israel would continue in its Christ-rejecting condition till the second coming, which is what appears to happen. Then all the rebellion will be crushed. Only those who willingly submit to his rule will be prepared to enter the millennium, which I tend to believe. 24:35, to emphasize the unfailing character of his predictions, Jesus added that heaven and earth would pass away, but his words would by no means pass away. So that means we have a perfect Bible somewhere. Since none of the Bibles in the modern day, they're corrupted by Freemasons. Since the Bibles before the King James were all corrupted through Origen, to Jerome, that leaves just one. Guess which one? You got it. The King James Bible, Cambridge edition. You win the prize for today. That's the one. And they have no other. It doesn't exist. Yet they say the King James has errors in it. Not a doggone one of them can show you one. And when they do, it's copy-pasted from 101 contradictions of the King James Bible. Well, every one of them can be destroyed, too. Every single one have been twisted on purpose. They have no other book except the King James Bible. Now, they do have counterfeit King James Bibles, started in 2013, by the way. Yeah, this is sneaky. Cambridge edition, King James, is the only one left. Speaking of heaven passing away, he was referring to the stellar and the atmospheric conditions in heaven, the blue firmament above us today, not to the heaven which dwelling place of God. 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. The dissolution of the heaven and earth is described in 2 Peter 3:10-13. It's taking me longer today than I thought. I'd like to get good commentary in because to make it clearer. So I guess I'm going to be going into Monday night. 10-13. Oh, this is a study in itself. But the day of the Lord, there's a study, will come as a thief in the night. Here, Peter's talking about this now. In which the heavens shall pass away, and with a great noise, and the elements shall melt. With fervent heat, the earth also, and the works therein, shall be burned up. Seeing that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking forward and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, by being born again. That's Peter. As talked again, mentioned again in Revelation 20, verse 11. And so, the day and hour is unknown to man, 24:36, to the exact day and hour of the second advent. Nobody knows. Everybody says they do, but nobody knows. Not really. This should warn against the temptation to set dates or believe those who do. And we're not surprised that angels do not know. They're finite creatures with limited knowledge. They do what God tells them to do. They also have free will, though. While those living prior to Christ's return, they'll not know its day or hour. It seems that those familiar with the prophecy may be able to know that year, though. I've been saying this for a while. The first seal, Antichrist, falling away 7 years. You'll know the year, though. You'll know the season, but you won't know the day or the hour. Your wife says, honey, and you say, what, Martha? She'll say, I'm pregnant, honey. Uh-oh. Guess what? You can predict the month, can't you? You go up to a woman, you got that belly, and you got what, three trimester things going on? Whatever, okay. You say, when you say to her, just cute, she's standing in line, you don't know her from Adam's house cat, and you say, so, when's the date? They automatically know what you're talking about. It's automatic. They'll say, oh, 2 months from now. Then you say, okay, so it's going to be, oh, March, right? Yeah, March. So what day is it going to be? Now, she's going to look at you like you got three heads. She don't know what day. She said, well, gosh, we hope it's going to be on a Tuesday. Well, then you're going to say, what time on Tuesday? Now, they're definitely going to call the police and have you put in a straitjacket. Nobody knows what day, what hour that baby's coming, but you can say what month. Well, same thing here. You'll know the year, but you won't know the day or the hour, though. Might not even know the month. They will know it'll be approximately 3.5 years after the idol image is set up in the temple. How about that? Daniel 9:27. You'll find Daniel 7:25. Daniel 12:7. Daniel 11. Revelation 11:2. And 3. Revelation 12:14. And last but not least, Revelation 13:5. Man, it's just hammer, hammer, hammer. And you'll know about 3.5 years when that image is set up, you'll know the year that Jesus Christ is coming. But you won't know the day or the hour. In those days, most people be indifferent, just as the days of Noah. Although the days before the flood were terribly wicked, that's not the feature emphasized here in this part. The people ate, drank, married, gave in marriage. In other words, they went on through their routines of life as they were going to live forever. They were warned that a flood was coming. They lived as if they were flood-proof. Well, in this case, they're going to have to be fireproof. And when it came, they were unprepared, outside the only place of safety. It's the way it was, the way it will be when Christ returns now. Only those who are in Christ, the ark of safety, will be delivered. Heading down the home stretch for today, Matthew 24:40-41. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken away in judgment. The other will be left to enter the millennium. Two women will be grinding at the mill, or working at the mill. Maybe two lawyers, who knows? But they'll be instantly separated. One will be swept away by the flood of judgment. The other left to enjoy the blessings of Christ's reign. When you go to verse 40-41, it uses a warning to the unsaved. It's reference to the rapture. They say today the wicked will be removed first. Okay, well, that kind of eliminates the trumpet judgments, don't it? Why would God remove the wicked first? Who's left down here to go through judgment? Poor old Mother Earth only? Who? The transhumanized army only? What about the humans left that's been against God all along? The first phase of Christ's coming, when he takes all his believers to heaven, leaves all the unbelievers behind, the wicked behind, for judgment, while there might be a valid application of the passage, the context makes it clear that the interpretation has to do with Christ coming to reign. So this brings to point, something pops in my head right now. What do you think that means? Who's left down here? The wicked is. They're left for the judgment of God. So, something we've talked about here in the past, what does that mean? How about Psalms 34:21? Does that come to mind? Who's left? Psalms 34:21 says, and I quote, "Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate." So the evil down here are going to start killing each other, just as they did in the days of Noah. Boy, that should be an eye-opener tonight. Wow, that's massive. I just thought of that. Anyway, so in view of the uncertainty to the day and the hour, men ought to watch, like the watchman. And if someone knows his house is going to be broken into, well, he's going to sit in his rocking chair with his 12-gauge shotgun, right? Anyway, he'll be ready, even if he doesn't know the exact time, unless he's got a pit bull dog. You know, the Son of Man will come when least expected by the masses. Then it won't matter about a pit bull dog or a double-barrel shotgun. Won't do you a doggone bit of good. His people are going to be on the tiptoes of expectancy when these signs come. I'm going to stop there. I didn't make it. I want to get full explanation on this, because this really is kind of detailed. I covered a lot, though, I think. We'll take up on Monday. We'll go over again. Make sure we go over we'll do a very quick summary up to speed. And then we'll get into Matthew 24, 45. Then we should be, the way we're going, probably Tuesday we'll get to Matthew 25. Because I don't know what I'm going to all say by the time I get there. So we'll start Monday, parable of the wise and the evil servants, 24, 45 to 51. And then the parable of the 10 virgins, parable of the talents, and then we'll go into 25, which is the king judges the nations. Where's the parable of talents? Is 25. Oops. Oh. The parable of 10 virgins begins Matthew 25. Oop, jumped the gun there on that one. It's when the parables take. Then there'll be commentary. And we'll take it from there. Wow. A lot of stuff there. And today you can see how it can transpire too. By technology. HARP, earthquakes, chemtrails, holographic imagery, mark of the beast, tattoo, digital tattoo, etc., etc. Transhumanized army. All that sort of thing. Family, remind you all, before we go here and close in prayer, we're played up at highportradio.net. Highportradio.net is another network. Plays my broadcasts and Bible studies if I have any new people tonight. Highportradio.net by John Kirkler. He graciously plays on his network. My broadcasts and Bible studies. John Herkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. Highportradio.net up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And you can find his sponsors on his website, highportradio.net. And use his sponsors and talk about his radio program and give him a good attaboy, or help him donate to his site or work as sponsors, whatever, to give him a hand there. He's doing really well. He has a dream of a network, and his, what I understand is it's doing really well now. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. My archives is there. I got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. Well, I got my own little Facebook, Tom Gamble, but I don't even hardly go there much. I focus only on pretty much on Watchman for Jesus. That's the one I use the most. A little side note, something you might want to think about. I have a little inside information. We'll see if it works out. Well, I won't put any money on it, but the year 2025 is the year the three of the new earth. They call it, all of these are coded holographic events. To begin in the year 2015 on the total solar eclipse occurring on the new moon of the March equinox will be a full force through the June solstice. You see, what all this means, remember we talked about the constellations? When they start moving around for seasons, it has an effect on the portal openings of this universe. That's when they do their human sacrifice. They do their wars. They do their explosions. They do their negative energy events, which opens up the portals. So between March and June of this year, it's going to be the shift. They are telling their people, from sources I have, it'll be an upshift of DNA over mankind. So expect a lot of chemtrails taking place, a lot of ELF transmission. Not only in the 12 active shrouds and strands, but also the important transition from carbon-based physical bodies to a silicon-based form. A higher dimension of the fifth through the 12th. This is what they're telling their people. So they got something going on here with alchemy. What does that translate for us? Significant events coming up with negative energy kind of thing going on. But you see, no matter what they plan, God may say, nah, not going to happen. And it won't. They come up with all the plans they want. But if God says, nah, not going to, because you all pray. And God may say, I hear your prayer. And they lose their opportunity. That's how it really works. But family, if this country pulls away, if people don't pray, if our people don't humble themselves before God, these things are going to transpire. But either way, they lose. If they transpire, and they're getting closer to their defeat. If they don't, you got time to witness to others. Hey, it's a win-win. What's the problem? Persecution is coming. What don't kill you makes you stronger. If it kills you, you get to heaven first. So what's the problem? I don't see a problem. Everybody worries about persecution. God allows it to make you stronger. So pray and thank him for the infirmities and persecution. You know what the Bible says? There's a concept for you. So I say bring it on. Let's get her done. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in this Bible study. Father, thank you for insight and wisdom, discernment, Lord. Guide us through. Give us protection that, Father, we can witness to others. Protection for ourselves. Convict us if we fall away. Lord, we pray for our family members. As we do, Father, we pray for the veterans. We pray for citizens around, Father, to take away those thoughts of suicide. Set up divine appointments, Lord, that will circumvent, will stop these thoughts and opportunities they have for this suicide. Father, to expose those in deception for who and what they are, and give us the strength to witness and to be places we should. to help thy will, help thou do thy will. Father, we self-denial to bring, Father, for your will be done. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, here we are at another weekend. And doing the best I can as a watchman with what I got to work with here, which before was nothing but two computers and a headset. Now I've got all these buttons and things I sort of know how to use, finally. I'm going to work on this YouTube thing and see if I can get that thing up and running. I don't know. Do that YouTube experience. Work on my Facebook. I just feel something's coming. Something's coming. We got to get prepared for it. You're going to be used mightily, each individual. You're not learning things for nothing. Not just learning it, studying it because it's a pastime. You learn it for a future time. Y'all have a good night, and God bless y'all, and have a great weekend. And we'll see y'all next week, 4 to 6, and we'll hit the ground running next week for sure. Got a lot to talk about next week. The attack on the military. End times events and the structure of the matrix we'll cover next week. It's going to be intense next week. I hope. I plan on it. We'll see how it works out. Good night. God bless. It's your watchman. I'm signing out. Good night.
Shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in.
I am with you every day to the end.